And to the New Berean Church visitors and friends, good morning. I'd also like to acknowledge Deacon Lawhorn for the invitation this morning, Deacon Lewis for his support and encouragement, Deacon Jackson for his prayers, and the Deacon Chair this morning for meeting with me before I came into worship. I thank you all. It means a lot to me, and again, I say thank you. This morning, I'd ask that you'd please turn with me to the book of Job. The book of Job, beginning at chapter 1. And those who are able to rest upon your feet, I'd ask that you'd stand at the reading of God's word. Job, first chapter, beginning at verse 1, reading verses 1 through 5, the New Living Translation reads as follows. There was once a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was a blameless man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in that area. Job's sons would take turns preparing feasts in their homes, and they would also invite their 3 sisters to celebrate with them. And when these celebrations ended, sometimes after several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them. For Job said to himself, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular practice. You may be seated. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. Amen. This morning, for the time that is ours, we want to teach and preach from the subject, Better Than Lucky, We Are Blessed. Better Than Lucky, We Are Blessed. Pray with me again. Father, we thank you, O God, for this preaching assignment, O God. Now hide me behind a sacred desk, that you may be seen and you may be heard, that what comes forth will make us better for the living for you, that others would see you through us, that you would be glorified. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be found pleasing in your sight. You are my strength and my redeemer, the one in whom I trust and who I love. And the people of God say amen. Better than lucky, we are blessed. Last year, my godbrother Donovan sent me a Father's Day shout out that I'd like to share with you this morning. He wrote, "This goes out to all the dads and daddies and pops and fathers. This is especially for all the fools with kids who don't even bother. How lucky are we to be chosen by God to be soil for our seeds, to happily sacrifice for the sake of their needs, to love, advise, and counsel their life to be all that they can be. We are, in fact, that lucky. But better than lucky, we are blessed. Blessed and lucky, lucky and blessed, yet warped into this crazy time machine where everything goes super duper hyper fast, but somehow the rest of the world stays on pace. Crazy, right? Not when we really think about it, because children do grow fast. And to all the dads, daddies, pops, and fathers, and of course to the exception of the fools that don't even bother, our seeds are our lives. We seek wisdom so that we can help our seeds grow. First smiles, first laughs, first words. I'll preach without it. First smiles, first laughs, first words, first steps, first teeth pulled, first recitals, first games, first spankings, first it will all be all right. First job done well. First, I'm proud of you, daughter or son. It all comes then goes with a few settings of the sun. If we're not making a full effort to be as involved as possible in our children's lives, then we may as well burn. Burn because a father's lack of effort is usually on full display at most crime scenes. Burn because we were chosen to lead, yet found a reason to be absentee. If we are not part of the solution, we are part of the problem. It doesn't matter if to the mother you are married, divorced, on good terms, or have issues unresolved. Never stop being who God chose us to be, fathers. If we have children in this world, then they are the future branches and leaves of our family trees. Further, loving our children also means loving and uplifting their mothers. Things don't always work out for the happily ever after. However, when it comes down to it, we've got to be our children's mother's number one backer. Support them and her. And he wrote here, he says, I realize some of us hear sideways comments more off the mark than Shaq's free throws. And while we see other brothers being praised for things we've done that we don't even think to speak on, never let anything stop us from being who God chose us to be, fathers, lucky and blessed. The easiest test to take if you're doing your best is just ask. Ask your children when it's you and them, how do they feel? Ask them if they're glad to call you dad, as you are to call them your seed. Ask them if they realize how much you love them, and you'll know that it's real by the way they respond. And no matter what their response is, there's still more work to do. So keep pushing, men. Salute to you on your designated calendar day. We already know that when we're doing what we're supposed to do, then every time our children tell us they love us, that we're the best, that they're glad to have us in their lives, and that every single time you'll know that every day is Father's Day. More importantly, so will our children. How lucky are we? Happy Father's Day, fellas. You are blessed. This morning, I would like to take a look at a man in the Bible that we don't usually associate with fatherhood. This morning, we take a look at Job. And Job was a real person and not an imaginary Bible character. Both Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, the 14th verse, and the 20th verse reads the same stanza about Job. And then James, the 5th chapter, the 11th verse attests to this. Listen, Ezekiel 14:14 says, even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were there, their righteousness would not have saved one but themselves, says the sovereign God. And then James 5:11 states, we give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. When we think of Job, we think of trials. And often again, we study Job to learn how to overcome trials. And again, because he was a real man who had real experiences, he can tell us what we need to know about life and its problems in this world. But there's another lesson that we learn from Job, and that is of fatherhood. Job is an example of a godly father that courageously led his family. And this morning, we want to take a look at Job and see what made him such a cherished father. And the opening of the book of Job gives us important information concerning his character and his example as a father. First, he was a good example to his children. Verse 1 says, "There was once a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz, and he was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil." As we look at this first point, we see Job as an example his children should follow. In our society, we find many examples of fatherhood, some good, some bad. But the thing that you can learn from them both, from the good, you can learn how to lead your family the proper way. And from the bad, you can learn how to lead your family, not to lead your family that way. But here in this first verse, Job is showing us the proper way to stand before and lead our families. Look at Job's character. The Bible states that he was perfect and upright. And this does not mean that he did not make mistakes or was sinless or faultless, because no one can claim that distinction. But it does imply to us that he was a man of integrity, especially when it came to walking with the Lord. Integrity is defined as having the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. Now, although we have many men that are great providers, they bring home the necessities needed to sustain the family, often working long hours to provide, and that's all good. But there is another part that the Lord will hold us accountable for, and that is the responsibility to walk before Him in the integrity as a God-fearing man, one that has led his family from his house to the house of the Lord, and not just send them there. Dads need to exemplify a good life. 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verses 2-3 tells us, "The only letter of recommendation we need is yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ, showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets or stone, but on human hearts." Scripture teaches that we are, and how we live is like a letter from God. And our children read that letter every day. There are many families that have a great provider in the home, but he puts up a bad example on the spiritual side. And when the children see their daddy not attending church, then they will one day ask, "Why do I have to go?" But this was not the case with Job's family. What they saw in their father was not only a provider, but they saw a man that served the Lord with integrity, a good man that dealt with those he dealt with honestly, and a man that feared the Lord and avoided evil, which leads us to our second point, in that, secondly, Job, he was a good provider and a steward of what he had. It's in the text. Verse 3 states, he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and he also had servants, and he was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area. The second thing we should note about this caring father is that he was a good provider and steward of what he had. The text does not say how Job received his wealth. It simply shows us that he has it. In fact, it is not mentioned that what business he was in, although studying, one commentator has insinuated that he must have been in the trucking industry of his day because of all the camels that he had. But whatever the business that Job was in, The bottom line is that we can see how the Lord blessed him. The blessings are evident because the text says that he was the greatest of all the men in the East. I would like to think that his business had the Lord's blessing upon it because of what we found in the first point. He was a man that honored his relationship with the Lord. He was honest in his relationship with men, and he was not impressed with evil. And when a man feels that way, he has put himself in line for a blessing. In other words, he sought the Lord and his righteousness, and the Lord added to what he had. Even Satan recognized that God's blessings were upon Job because he challenged God in the 11th verse of that text. The 11th verse says, "But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." So he was a good provider and was a good steward of what the Lord had entrusted him with. He did not waste the blessings that God had given him. He simply took care of it and nurtured it for his children's inheritance. Fathers, provide for your family. 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter and the 8th verse says, "But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own households, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers." For those struggling to find work, that's okay. Don't get down on yourself. The idea is more about your heart and desire. You see, being a father who provides covers more than rent and food. To me, it likens to how love covers a multitude of sins. As dads, it's our responsibility to make sure our family's needs are addressed across the board. And that is what the father named Job did. As a matter of fact, he even helped others outside of his immediate family. Job, the 29th chapter, verses 12 through 17, you hear Job say himself that he says, "For I assisted the poor in their need and the orphan and who required help. I help those without hope, and they bless me, and I cause the widow's heart to sing for joy. Everything I did was honest. Righteous covered me like a robe, and I wore justice as a turban. I served with eyes for the blind and feet for the lame. I was a father to the poor and assisted strangers who needed help. I broke the jaw of godlessness oppressors, and I plucked their victims from their teeth." Then that sounds like King's work. Brothers, be encouraged and look for ways to give to your family and to others, even when it's hard. Finally, we find Job earnestly praying on behalf of his sons and daughters. I'm still in the text. Verse 5 says, "When these celebrations ended, sometimes after several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them. But Job himself said, 'Perhaps my children have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts.'" This was Job's regular practice. One thing that we as fathers have to learn from this lesson is to pray sincerely for our children. All too often, we left this in the hands of the wives and the mothers. But if we would take a look at the divine order in which the Lord God has laid before us, we would discover that the spiritual leadership of the family has been placed in the hands of the father and not the mother. And I'm still in the book. While the Bible clearly affirms the equality of men and women, as Galatians, the 3rd chapter, the 28th verse says, "There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave nor free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." The Word of God also tells us that God has assigned the responsibility of spiritual leadership in the home. And I'm talking about Christian homes, to husbands. As Colossians, the third chapter, the 18th and 19th verse says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Verse 19 says, then states, it says, husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Men, we got to let our, we let our families down when we fail to lead. Now, granted, there may are many wives that got saved well before the husband, and they had to lead the family to church, and they led them in other areas as well. And many of them waited patiently on us men so that we could have our place of leadership roll back into our hands. But many of us have not figured out that the Lord is going to hold us responsible for leading the family both physically and spiritually. I remember how my father, who's down in South Carolina, my mom and dad moved from New York and they moved down to South Carolina this year. And I remember how my dad would drop my sister and I off at Sunday school on Sunday morning. But over the years, I noticed while we were there in church that he would show up and he'd sit on the back row. Then over the course of the years, he'd came on up to a little bit closer in the middle. And then by the time I had graduated and became a husband myself, my dad had came to the front row. He had been ordained as a deacon in the church. And often he beat my mom to the church so that he could be there to open up for Sunday school. I served in the Navy for 28 years. You heard Deacon Lawhorn share that. I was often away from home. And whenever I was away from home, the responsibilities of the home fell into the hands of my wife as she led and raised our two children. I would tell our son, I said, Brandon, you're in charge, but your mama's still the boss. But each time I returned back home, she would relay that responsibility as being the leader of that house back into my hands. Fathers, be your children's first teacher. Proverbs charges us and says, direct your children unto the right path, and when they are old, they will not leave it. Brethren, it is our responsibility to train up a child in the way that he or she should. Not the school, not the government, but you. And that means you, Dad. Look at what Job did. Matthew Henry said of this verse that Job waited until they were through with their celebrations. Then he sent them to be prepared for solemn ordinances. He sent and sanctified them, ordered them and examined their own consciousness and repent of what they had done. In other words, Job, being the priest of the family, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. We must understand that as the priest of the home, there are certain things that the Lord desires that the wife should not do, although he honors her request. It is the man's job to pray for the family because he, according to scripture, is the priest of the home. Dads, pray for their children. In Chronicles, the first Chronicles, the 29th chapter, the 19th verse, King David prayed and said, give my son Solomon the wholehearted desire to obey all your commands, laws, and decrees, and to do everything necessary to build this temple for which I have made these precautions or preparations. King David is praying for his son Solomon. Children who know without any doubt that their fathers have prayed for them every day own a deep sense of love and security. So as I prepare to take my seat, I want the fathers to know that there is an awesome responsibility bestowed upon us as fathers. There's a poem whose author is unknown that says, God took the strength of a mountain, the majesty of a tree, the warmth of a summer sun, the calm of a quiet sea, the generous soul of nature, the comforting arm of night, the wisdom of ages, the power of the eagle's flight, the joy of spring morning, the faith of the mustard seed, and the depth of a family need. Then God combined all of these qualities, and there was nothing more to add. He knew that his masterpiece was complete, and so he called it Dad. You see, brothers, having a child might make you the biological father, but it will not make you a real father. That comes through many days of caring and providing and nurturing our children. Even praying for our children is the job of both parents, but the father must take the lead. The hymnologist said it like this: lead me and guide me all the way. For if you lead me, I cannot stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. So on this morning, let me encourage the fathers to lead your families with integrity. Lead your families and let the world see that you stand tall for the Lord. Lead, fathers, and be the champions that God had designed you to be. I know that it's not easy, but lead your families and let others know that you know a God who gives hope and mercy to the hopeless. He gives hope to the lost and to the brokenhearted. Lead your families and let others know that you know a God who loves the unlovable. Lead your fathers. Lead and let others know that you know a God who comforts the ones who are sorrow, and he heals the sick and the brokenhearted. And lead on, fathers, and let others know that you know a God who has planted his same Holy Ghost power inside of you. Being lucky is the idea by chance. Something of the universe has made a situation go in your favor. But being blessed is attributing a given situation to the goodness of God. Jonathan Reynolds said, I know who sits on the throne, who makes the stage and writes the song. And I know I couldn't do this on my own. And as much as I complain, I've seen more sunshine than rain. And I could say thanks, but my luck is stars. But that's not where my blessings are. No, they come from the Father's heart and not the sky, not the chance. But the truth is, I'm not lucky, I'm loved. We used to sing a song in the church that said, does anybody here love my Jesus? Does anybody here know my Lord? Then we say, I want to know if you love my Jesus. I want to know if you love my Lord. New Berean, let me ask you this question. Is there anybody here that loves my Jesus? Is there anybody here that loves my Lord? Then you ought to open up your mouth and help me praise him on this morning. And if you don't know how to praise him or what to praise him for, I got 5 good reasons. 1, he woke you up this morning. 2, he woke you up this morning. 3, he woke you up this morning. 4, he woke you up this morning. 5, he woke you up this morning. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is he who puts his trust in him. Fear the Lord and his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. From the rising of the sun down to the going down of the same, his name is worthy to be praised. Isn't he all right? Isn't he all right? Say yeah. Say yeah. My God is yes. We serve an awesome God who has bestowed awesome privilege and responsibilities on us as fathers, as mothers, as brothers and sisters. Our God is awesome and he's worthy to be praised. So in our takeaway this morning, Job is one of the best examples in scripture of a godly father. And yes, his story is also often included to instruct us concerning suffering and how to live through it, which, as you just heard, is a reality that my family and I now live with. And so does his church. But like Job, we are learning that God is able. And as we worship him in the midst of our pain, and while we keep our eyes on eternity, we recognize that God is sovereign and that he really is working everything according to his plan for our lives. So on this morning that's set aside to honor fathers, we give thanks to God for the story of Job and his example of a man who feared God, shunned evil, and prayed for his children. Our prayer this morning is that each of us will follow this example and know that as fathers, better than lucky, we are blessed. To God be the glory for the great things he's done. The doors of the church are open. If there be one amongst us who know not the Lord or who have not given themselves to Christ, now's your opportunity. The doors of this church is open to you to receive you and allow you to begin to do great works for him in this place. Is there one?